You'll get that later, maybe. Anyway, he thought that he would try to get some perfume, and so the lady brought out a bottle of perfume that was, I don't know, $150 or something, and he said, "Oh, no, no, that's." And so she went and got another bottle of perfume, brought it out. It was about $50. And he, "No, no, no, it's too expensive." Brought out a tiny little bottle of perfume, and about $10. And he said, "No, no, you don't understand. I'm looking for something really cheap." And so she brought him a mirror. So sometimes that's what our spirit can be during Christmas, right? And I only say that to say that, you know, the spirit by which we approach this sometimes varies greatly from person to person. But the fact of the matter is that Christmas is a time of giving, and that's what it's all about. God gave his son to us, and that's really what we celebrate tonight. Now, I just want to remind you that the coming of the Lord Jesus as a baby really is a relatively small part of his story. As a matter of fact, most of the account that we have in the scripture is about his ministry and obviously his death and resurrection, which is a great part. But we know that he was born so that he could die. That's really the purpose. That's what the Bible says. He came to save that which is lost. And tonight, I want to just look, if I can, at three examples of some characters in the Christmas story that I believe we can learn from tonight as Christians, and even as the world looks at this story. I want to just take these three examples, and I think they'll be meaningful to us as we unfold this tonight. If you're able to, look at Matthew chapter number 1. I understand it's not practical for some of you, and that's fine. I'll be reading the verses anyway. Matthew chapter 21, chapter 1, starting in verse number 18, really begins to show us the example of Joseph. And I want to learn tonight from Joseph's example how to obey in the way that we ought to. So we're going to look at the obedience of Joseph first of all. Notice in verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, or in this way, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, that is, before they were married, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, that is, they became married, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we have three areas where Joseph obeyed despite the fact that he did not understand. Now you got to understand Joseph's predicament here. We've learned this before, but Joseph was a spouse, that is, he was promised to marry as husband and wife, and in the Jewish culture that promise was significant enough that they treated it as if they were married. But it was the marriage without the physical relationship. And so the groom would go and he would prepare, the bride would prepare, and when the time was ready, they would come together, be married, and become husband and wife. But this promise of the espousal really was as binding as marriage itself, and so there was a covenant there to be committed one to another. You could imagine Joseph's dismay when he found out that his wife-to-be was expecting. It could only mean one thing, humanly speaking, and that is that she was unfaithful. And so Jewish law permitted that he would be able to divorce her in this way, and so he could go and declare that he was going to divorce because of infidelity, and he could make this a big public deal, and he could ruin her and ruin her reputation and everything else. Really, the just way to do it. But the Bible says Joseph was a just man. That is, he understood a little bit about what it meant to have mercy, and so he didn't do that. He said, we're going to get divorced quietly. I'm not going to say anything. We'll just separate. It'll be fine. But while he was thinking about those things, the Bible says that the angel came to him at night and said, Joseph, these things won't make sense to you, but here's the plan of God. I want to remind you tonight that sometimes in our lives, we don't understand what God is doing. And it doesn't even look like something that we would expect that God would use. But at the same time, I want you to understand that God is working his plan. And the fact is that we have a responsibility, once we understand the plan of God, to obey it. And that's what Joseph did. He decided that he was going to take her by faith, become married, even though it didn't look right, it didn't look like the right thing. He knew it was God's plan. Now you say, I want to be obedient like Joseph, but I don't even know what God's plan is. And I want to just tell you that we know God's plan the same way Joseph did. No, we won't see an angel. It'd be easier, wouldn't it, if an angel came, stood at the head of our bed or the base of our bed and said, here's what you need to do. We'd probably have a little bit of a heart attack. But like Joseph, he was afraid. Don't be afraid. But aren't you glad tonight that we don't have to wait for angels to come and tell us what God says? You see, the Word of God is his revelation to us. Just as much as the angel speaking to Joseph that night convinced Joseph to do something that did not make sense, humanly speaking, and it would really reflect badly on him and his wife, as far as the world was concerned, immediately, he was willing to take that chance because he knew what God's plan was. And in the same way that Joseph understood the Word of God and the plan of God, we have the plan and Word of God for us today. Now, the choice is the same. Joseph had to choose. Once he was understood what God said, once he understood what the will of God was and what God's plan was, he said, God said, this is exactly what I'm doing. You get to be a part of something that's much bigger than you. But you know, both Joseph and us tonight come into that same kind of crossroads. Joseph had a decision to make. Am I going to obey or not? Can I just remind you tonight, the sum of our life on this earth really is, will you obey God's word or not? That's really the sum of the matter. And I'm thankful tonight that God's given us a free choice. He's given us, in his sovereignty, in his omniscience and power, he's given each person a volition, a will, a free will, unencumbered, and you can make the choice whether you're going to obey or not. Isn't that a blessing? Nobody's forced to do what God wants them to do. But I'll tell you this, the blessing is when we follow God's plan, we obey. There's great blessing in it. And Joseph that night just decided, I'm going to submit to what God said. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. I'm going to look bad in front of my family and in front of the world. I'm going to look, they're going to question what I'm doing. They're going to wonder why I went through with this. But I know on the other side of it, there is going to be a greater good. May I tell you tonight, that's really what the Christian life's all about. The obedience of Joseph reflected a trust for the Lord's word and what he told him. And so the fact of the matter is, tonight we face the same choice. Joseph had to choose to trust God even when the details were revealed to him. You say, well, I don't know if I can trust God. I don't really know what he's doing. The fact of the matter is the details have been revealed to us. We have them. Will you trust? And just obey and understand and trust God's word. And so here's really the bottom line for Joseph. God has given us all that we need in order to obey him. May I just say this tonight? Each individual seated here tonight and around the world, this is the truth. The degree to which you trust God's word is the degree to which you will obey it. So here's the bottom line. Do you trust that this is God's word to us tonight? Do you really believe that God in heaven, the Almighty, wants to have a personal relationship with you? And if so, how in the world do we know what he wants? And we believe that he gave us his word. As the Bible tells us, it's given to each one of us. The question is, do you trust it? So here's my thought as we go forward tonight. First of all, you're trusting something. It's not like, I don't know if I can trust the word of God. I don't know if I can trust anything. No. We trust something. My question is, will you just put your trust in what God says? Just like Joseph did. And so I see, first of all, the obedience of Joseph. But I want you to see, secondly tonight, the other character in the story, and that is Mary. But I want you to see not, necessarily her obedience, but her worship. I believe the Christmas time is a wonderful time for us to obey like Joseph, but I believe it's a wonderful thing for us to worship like Mary. Would you take your Bibles there and turn over to Luke chapter 1, and I want you to see, really, Mary's, her heart of worship as she understands what God's plan is. It was revealed to her that she was going to have a son, and that son was going to be called Jesus. It just occurred to me that I didn't give you the three areas that Joseph was obedient in. Number one, the angel of the Lord told him that he was to take Mary to be his wife, and he did. Number two, the Bible tells him that he was supposed to call his name Jesus. And you know what? When Jesus was born, he did. Isn't that a blessing? And I believe tonight that Joseph was obedient in those areas, reflecting his trust. And I'll say one more time that the degree to which we trust God is the degree to which we will obey. Let's look tonight at the worship of Mary if we can. And I'd like to look at verse number 38 of chapter 1. And the Bible says Mary reflected back her heart to the Lord after she heard Elizabeth in her really song of joy in the previous verses. But notice in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now I want you to see tonight that worship, we talk about worship and what it means, and I know it can be confusing sometimes, but it really isn't that confusing at all. Worship is just about this. Number one, I believe it begins with obedience. Our heart of obedience reflects then the worship to the Lord. We think that worship is maybe singing, and we say that we're going to come worship the Lord together, but the fact of the matter is it starts in our heart. And you are going to worship the Lord only as much as you believe and understand who God is. And so it began with faith and obedience. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, again, "Be it unto me according to thy word." My question to you tonight is, how do you know what God wants you to do? How did Mary know what God wants her to do? And I believe the answer is that he came and told her, just like he told Joseph. So my question to you tonight is, do you know what God's telling you to do? I don't understand, Pastor. I just live my life and, you know, give a little bit of maybe agreement, maybe a little bit of attention to the Lord, but then I go about my life. I don't know if there's something else I'm supposed to do. Here's the bottom line is that God has a plan for each one of our lives. Just like he intersected with Mary's life and said, "I've got a plan for you. Here's what my plan is." And you know what her attitude was? "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." I tell you tonight, I think that there just needs to be a spirit of faith that says, "Lord, when your word says something, I will believe it." And I'll tell you tonight that the true joy of living and the true victory that we can experience is that spirit right there. "Lord, what you tell me, I'll do." Now, it takes a knowledge of God's word. It takes an attitude and a spirit to receive it. But that willingness to obey is what God blessed in Mary's life. You read what God has told us, his precious word. You understand it. This is his revelation to us. Just as Jesus was revealed to those people that day, the Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What that means is we have the very word of God, that is the words of Jesus with us tonight. Just as if he was standing here, this is what he would say. So the question is, will you hear and obey? And so this faith that she had, I believe, created or caused a heart of praise. Because if you go down to verse number 46, notice what she said. And this is her song. She says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Tonight I want you to see that there is a heart to recognize the plan of God. "I don't understand what all is going on," Lord, Mary must have said. "I can't imagine what is going on in your plan. All I know is that you've revealed to me that this is going to happen supernaturally, and I don't understand it, but I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to receive it." Now, the fact of the matter is that every step of our life, we may not understand what God's doing. I can't see tomorrow. You don't know what God has in your next step of your life. We don't know what's coming tomorrow or the next day. But the fact remains that when God has called us to do something and he wants us to obey, we by faith do it, even though we cannot understand the whole plan of God. Now I want to just tell you something, first of all, about what God commands us. He will never command you to do something. He will never ask us to obey without first revealing some promise or blessing. I dare you to study through the Bible and find some place where God gave a command, where he did not give a promise, where he did not give some sort of glimpse into what his plan was. You may not understand it all, but you understand enough. For Mary, it was, Mary, I want you to do this. What's going to be born of you is born of the Holy Spirit. He is going to be God in the flesh. I don't even know if Mary could even comprehend that. But what did she do? I'm going to take what I understand, I'm going to live it, and I'm going to obey it and step out in it so that I can experience God's blessing. Now, what's interesting is we're going to come to the end of this, and I want to close that loop if I can. Hold on to that thought. Notice, if you would, though, the Beatitudes, of course, in Matthew chapter 5, one of them says this: blessed are the pure in heart. And do you know what the rest of that is? They shall see God. Now, I'm just saying tonight, here's the point. Mary was able to understand and see God, and I believe what see means is understand, experience. And I believe it was her pure heart of obedience that just said, Lord, I'm going to take part in whatever you're doing. I don't understand it all. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it's a little bit humiliating at the first part. Maybe it's just something that seems insignificant. But I'm going to step out and obey. And let me tell you what happens. Mary saw God. Tonight, you know what? A lot of people need to see God. And it begins with faith, and there isn't a resulting heart of praise. Then if you notice, if you would, many times in our heart, things get involved, doesn't it? We get pride, we get laziness, selfishness, we get all kinds of things that are really in our heart that take away the purity of our heart. It's no wonder we don't see God. But I believe, lastly, then, Mary's worship, not only to begin with faith and cause the heart of praise, but notice, lastly, it results in an ability to see. I mentioned this already, but the fact of the matter is, in the Bible, Jesus often spoke of seeing. Now, what does he mean? Here's what it means. Seeing is equated with understanding. Don't you want to understand what God's doing? You want to see what God's doing? Let me tell you, the key is obedience. Worship always helps us to be able to see what God's doing, because it begins with faith. I take a step of obedience. I receive what God's doing. I praise the Lord for it. I rejoice in it. And now I can see God working. Too many people are on the outside saying, boy, I really want to see God working before I do anything. I want to make sure this is real. I want to figure out what's going on. And God says you need to get involved. You need to obey first. That's what worship is really all about. May God help us to be able to worship like Mary. So I believe, number one tonight, we need to obey like Joseph. Number two, we need to worship like Mary. But can I give you the third one tonight? Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, where I just was reading. And I want you to see the shepherds tonight. And this is kind of the summation of what we're to do. Notice what happens. I've spoken about this before, but if you'll notice really the key here, if you'll go to verse number 17, it kind of shifts there. The scene shifts from the place where Jesus was born with Mary and Joseph. Verse number 13, we know that the angel came to the shepherds and they proclaimed glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. But notice the response there in verse number 17. And when they had seen it, all right, so when they understood what was going on, when they really realized what this was, the Bible says they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Notice, if you would, first of all, I want you to see the witness of the shepherds. And I think this is really the key in our lives as we understand truth. So we're going to worship the Lord. That's wonderful. So we come on Sundays and we gather together, and we come on nights like tonight and we sing and we worship God for what he's done. And we obey him during the week, and we want to worship the Lord. We want to be right in all of that. And we obey. We want to obey like Joseph. But the ultimate end of it is this, that we can worship, witness like the shepherds. They did not understand what was going on, I'm sure. They did not realize all that was going on. But when they heard and saw what had happened, the Bible says they went and they told people about it. Go again to verse number 18. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Then verse number 20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The fact of the matter is that when we see and understand the will of God, and we are part of it, and we desire to see what God's doing, and we worship Him, the natural result is for us to tell others about it. Here's really where the rubber meets the road, though. Because I believe it really takes a heart that has experienced God. This is not something we check off our list. This is not something I do because I have to do. Nobody coerced the shepherds to go and to find that baby, and no one coerced them once they saw that baby to go and tell everybody else about it. You know what's interesting? They couldn't help it. They experienced the Lord Jesus, and they couldn't help but tell somebody about it. I don't know about you, but that speaks a lot to me. I know a lot of Christians today that feel like, man, I got to tell somebody about Jesus. I should probably tell somebody about Jesus. I understand there's times when we don't feel like it or whatever the case might be. Can I tell you, when you see the Lord, when you experience Him, you will not be able to not tell someone. I'm just saying it'll be fresh in your mind. Why? He changed my life. He made it possible for me to have eternal life and hope. The peace and goodwill that He promised that night is mine. How can I not tell someone about Him? It's my privilege and joy as a pastor to stand and speak about the Lord Jesus and His saving grace week after week and opportunity after opportunity. But may I tell you tonight, as a Christian, it's our joy and privilege to speak of Him no matter where we are. And in this Christmas season, may the Lord help us to witness like the shepherds. I don't mean just do it, but I mean be motivated, be inspired as they were because they saw the Lord Jesus. Is that you tonight? Or is it kind of, oh, it's a great story. Oh, I believe He came. I believe there's a Jesus. I believe He died. Or have you really experienced Him? I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about an introduction to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings that will change your life. Number one, in salvation. Have you turned to Him for salvation? That's the first step. Put your trust in Him who can take your sins away. You know what? Sometimes as a Christian, we're saved and we're walking with the Lord, but you know, sometimes we just kind of get separated. We kind of lose that first love, don't we? I think we need to really get back to the stable tonight. Jesus isn't there. Praise the Lord, He's in heaven tonight. But can you come back to that place figuratively, and can you meet the Savior again? Can you experience Him and what He has for you? Or is the entertainment going on in your life and the distractions and career and hobbies and all those things really taking the place of meeting with the Lord? You see, when you find the Lord and you see Him, it's going to change you. You won't be able to help it. And I think that's really the lesson of the shepherds tonight. Can we obey like Joseph? Can we worship like Mary? Can we witness like the shepherds? These are the three examples that we have tonight to follow and to understand. May I just say also concerning Mary, I love the fact in verse number 19. Would you look at Luke 2, verse number 19? I just need to mention this. I mentioned it once before, but the Bible says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, would you go to verse number 51? Notice it says, He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, speaking of Jesus. But notice what it says, but His mother, Mary, kept all these sayings in her heart. Now that literally means that as Mary was contemplating the plan of God, she had no idea what this whole thing was going to look like as it came out and as it finished. All she knew is, this is what God's asked me to do. This is what God's asked me to do. But she kept all these things, these sayings. I really think that these words meant something to her. You know what she did? She kept them in her heart. And what this means is that she was putting them together as a puzzle. She would take this detail and say, oh, yeah, that's what this means. Of course this is what's going to happen. Oh, I understand now. And let me tell you, there is nobody's faith as strong as someone who's able to see God in the details like Mary saw God. Now, some other people would just walk right through and they'll miss it. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. May I just encourage you tonight, the work of God and the will of God is accomplished and our faith is grown as we see God's working in all these details and we're able to keep them in our heart and put them together like puzzle pieces. That's what I mean when I say, do you see God in your life? Mary saw him. Why? Because she kept this, and she kept this, and she remembered this, and she overheard this, and she put it all together, and now the plan of God starts to take shape and make sense in her life. That really is victorious Christian living, and I think that's the lesson of Mary tonight. Praise the Lord for these three examples. Amen? And I pray that God would help us to be as each one of these. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the lessons of these three. And Lord, I thank you that we can learn so much from them. I pray that in each heart tonight, we would just take pause. And I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, for the effort of those watching and those here that to set aside just a moment of time in the busyness of this season to reflect again the meaning, not just of 2,000 years ago, not just kind of doctrinally, Lord, what this means, or religiously, but Lord, really personally in our lives. I pray that tonight we might come to the understanding of your will in our lives, just as real as Joseph and Mary and the shepherds experienced your will for them then. Lord, the word of God is for each one of us tonight. And with those commands of obedience, you always give us promises to accompany them. I pray, Lord, that you would help us that we might live as these three did. We thank you again for your love. Lord, again, if there's someone here that is questioning really what this all means to them personally, and Lord, even in eternity, perhaps they're unsure, uncertain. Lord, maybe they're trusting in some other thing other than the precious blood of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, this season, they might understand what salvation and forgiveness is. Lord, that they would accept it by faith. Lord, I pray that you do your work in our hearts tonight. We thank you for this season. We ask it in Jesus' name.